There are many sides to the housing crisis in San Francisco. We often hear about how the rent here is the priciest in the country. But part of the problem is that there just aren't enough places for people to live. To keep up with demand, the city would have to build 5,000 units per year, and so far it's producing about 1,500. The mayor's office has asked city officials to speed up the lengthy permitting process in an effort to increase the housing supply. But some say the supply already exists and that thousands of units are simply being kept off the market. Some estimate there are up to 10,000 of these units in San Francisco. Many of them sit vacant because some property owners say tenants are proving too risky an investment. KALW's Leela Day brings us one landlord's story.
This is your house?
This is our house. We bought this house when we were very young. It was our first house.
Noni Richin proudly points out some of the original features of her Victorian-era home. She bought it for just over $56,000 in 1974.
$56,660. We added that $60 on the night before we submitted the bid.
Back then, she says the Fillmore neighborhood was different.
Most of the rest of the houses were boarded up at the time with signs that said, do not enter, rodents being poisoned, this sort of thing.
Richin and her husband got to work fixing up the place. The house had a unit downstairs, and they decided to rent it out for extra income.
The work we've done here, I did myself, you know, stripping paint, and I painted most of this place myself.
Eventually, the couple found a tenant.
The last time we rented out the place downstairs, the young woman, she had pink hair, she worked in the recording industry, she had good credit, we figured she'd be there 3 years.
But the tenant stayed for much longer. 19 years to be exact.
Having a tenant move in with a lease for that lasts for 6 months or a year and then goes month to month, but really it's a lifetime lease. It's extremely difficult to get a tenant to move, even no matter how badly you need the property.
Over time, Richin says she noticed things change with her tenant.
She made some bad decisions in her life, and she lost her job and she lost her roommate. And then she lost her apartment. And we made a settlement with her rather than have an eviction on her record.
When Richin says she settled, she means she offered her tenant 2 months of free rent and ignored a bounce check in order to get her out of the apartment.
Explain to the person who does not understand the legalities of this. Why would you have to settle with someone who just can no longer pay the rent?
I asked myself that too, but the attorneys that we talked to, and more than one, said this person will have the ability to get a free lawyer and to fight even a non-payment eviction and take it to court, and it can drag out and be very expensive.
After that experience, Richin decided to keep the apartment off the market. She rents it only to family members. She says she's one of many landlords who don't want to rent out their units to the general public.
I know a lot of owners are not offering units in the same manner that they used to. Now people are dealing with agents who specialize in what they call executive rentals, but not permanent. These people have permanent homes elsewhere.
Outside Richin's house, she points to a large three-story building that's empty, and then to another one next to it.
There are a lot of vacant units in the neighborhood. There's a house up the street, just past that new building. It's been vacant for over at least 20 years.
Richin is president of the Small Property Owners of San Francisco Institute. She's received emails from property owners about why they don't want to put their units on the market. They say things like,
my personal policy is never, ever rent to the general public and be subject to rent control and the bureaucracy that come along with it.
I have a tenant who's a bully. I have been trying to get her out for 3 years and 5 months, and I'm still trying. By the way, the legal fees to date are in excess of $50,000.
Richin says one of the main causes of this is San Francisco's rent control law. Not only does the law make it very difficult to get rid of a problem tenant, it also prevents landlords from charging market rates for their units. Outside, she points out another building she and her husband own.
The one across the street, it's always been a rental.
It's a four-unit building she bought in the 80s.
In fact, I think one of the people that lives in it, she was there when we bought the house.
The entire building is rent controlled, and all of her tenants have moved in so long ago that none of them pay more than $1,200 a month for their two-bedroom apartments. She's very aware that she could rent them out for over $3,000 a month in today's market.
I don't begrudge them that. I mean, they're not doing anything illegal. I'd probably, if I were a renter, I'd do the same thing. I'd stay in my rent-controlled apartment and you know, save my money and do something else with it if I had it.
Richens heard the argument that the low supply of rentals is contributing to a larger shift in the city, where artists and those with lower incomes are being pushed out. But she says she has to protect her investment.
I have to be honest. I love what artists, they're fun to be around, but I'm not able to take the risk with one of my few assets on that person's working for a year on a piece of art and it doesn't sell. I can't take that risk. I'm doing this because I need the income. It's not my job to support all these people, as much as I enjoy being around them.
Richen says right now rent control isn't necessarily helping the people who need it. She prefers a system where rent is based on what people can afford. She's also frustrated by the perception that property owners like her are swimming in cash. She says after taxes and repairs, income from all of her rentals is around $40,000 per year.
I worked very hard for this. Don't get me started about how hard we worked for these places. We lived very frugal lives.
And you feel you deserve it?
We've earned it.
And that brings us back to the original unit downstairs with the problem tenant years ago. Now that the unit is off the market, her daughter and son-in-law can live there, giving her easy access to her grandchildren. She says it's all part of the plan for her future as she gets older.
In our case, it was if we need to move into the place downstairs because we can't climb all these stairs anymore.
This investment in her future and family, she says, is the one that's sure to pay off. In San Francisco, I'm Leela Day for Cross Currents.